Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2018 Youth Education Conference, held in Logan, Utah.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you, thank you. Today, we're talking about manners. Are you guys so excited? Yeah! Okay, good. It's not really a topic I personally would probably be excited about, but I'm glad that they asked me to speak about it. When they first asked me to speak, I kind of laughed because I was like, coming from my background, I'm not the most mannerly individual. However, it doesn't matter where you're raised or what environments you've been exposed to, I promise that each one of you will be in situations in life where your manners and the way that you conduct yourself will be pivotal to who you are. This is my little two-year-old. She likes to help her dad. My husband is a farm manager currently, and we live in Pocatello, Idaho. And we're expecting number two. So we're excited about that. So this is my family. Okay, we're gonna jump into our manners and etiquette. I'd like to, if you're sitting by someone, if you're not, turn around to someone, but I would like you to shake their hand and introduce yourself. Okay, freeze. All right, freeze. Still holding hands, preferably. Okay, I want, just real quick, before it gets awkward, I want you to analyze your handshake. Whose hand is on top? Whose is on bottom? How are you holding their hand? Are they squeezing the guts out of it? Or is it a little bit limp? Okay? Okay, now you can let go of each other's hands so we don't have any awkward moments. Okay, today, along with manners, because manners is all about how you conduct yourself in society, right? And part of that is how you are as an individual, how you present yourself. And so one thing we're going to talk about today is body language. But with your handshake, if you analyze the handshake, it's interesting to see if your hand is a little bit on top, that's a power stance. That means I'm the boss in this situation. And it comes from your subconscious, okay? These body language oftentimes is not things that you think about. It's a manifestation of what you feel about yourself, okay? And so putting the hand a little bit on top or a lot on top is I'm the boss in this situation. I'm the more dominant person, okay? Hand on the bottom, you're more submissive, or you know, you're a little bit more unsure about the situation. Okay? The best way to give a handshake is just straight on. And so that you don't have that I'm not this or I'm not this, but you can just confidently shake someone's hand. But it is interesting to know that, right? About handshakes. When you go to shake someone's hand, watch. See what they do. You know, you always get the big guys that are like, hey, and they give you the bone crushing handshake, right? That says something about their personality, right? So we're going to talk a little bit more about hands and body language a little bit later, but it is interesting to note that the palm of your hand is the most sensitive body, there's more connections between your brain and the palm of the hand than any other body part. And so the things that we do with our hands actually really affect our subconscious brain and what we think about ourselves. So as we go throughout this presentation and hit on some other things with body language, be aware of that. Okay, so handshaking has been around since forever. This is 5th century BC Rome. Okay, people have been shaking hands for ever since the beginning of time. But anciently, it was more of a sign of protection. You'd go to shake someone's hand to make sure that they weren't holding a weapon, make sure he didn't have a knife stuck up his sleeve or some way of harming you. Thank you, by the way. So a lot of the manners that are now our culture today actually came from primitive times where it was a matter of survival for you to act with manners or for you to do these certain gestures and things that have now become our culture, okay? So that being said, I have a few videos today to keep us entertained.
Yes, my manners.
Okay, mind your manners. That's where I got the phrase, the topic for this class. Okay, how many of you have ever heard that phrase? Your grandma probably says it to you, mind your manners, or your mom, pay attention. You say it to yourself, maybe, mind your manners, please, get control, okay? So we grew up in a culture where we have these customs and ideas of things that we think are appropriate, but maybe we don't always understand. And we're going to talk about a few of those today. But so probably the first things that we start to learn as little children is to say please and thank you and excuse me, right? I'm in the process of drilling that into my two-year-old's head. And whether you say thank you or not, she'll tell you you're welcome if she does something. It's really funny. So so with different locations in the world, just like things from ancient we still practice today, different cultures throughout the world do things differently. And so, for example, when I first was going to China, a friend of our family came and told me, he says, you can't whistle in China or you'll be thrown in jail. And I was like, he always joked with me, so I didn't really take him serious. But it started me to think about what things may be different over there that maybe I'm used to here. I whistle all the time, and so it was a strange idea to think, could I get in trouble for that? And of course I didn't. You can whistle in China. Don't walk away thinking that. But there are different things with the Asians. Like when they shake hands, they never give a gripping handshake, ever. It's always kind of the limp fish. And they hold your hand. They don't let go throughout the conversation. They'll linger. Physical touch there is very common. You'll often see, I taught in middle schools and high schools, and girls and boys would walk around holding hands all the time. That's how they'd stand together. They were always holding each other's hands or had some kind of physical contact. And it was really weird for me at the beginning. I'm the kind of person that doesn't even like giving hugs. So I'm like, oh, that's... And then they would come hold my hand, and I'm like, what do I do? Like, it was really hard to get used to. But that's something that's important to know. When you're going other places, how do we know what's mannerly? How do we know what's not? I know in Russia, my brother-in-law served in Russia, and he said, you take your shoes off at every house, and they provide slippers for you, and that's just the custom. That's their culture, and so that's a mannerly thing. You will take your shoes off when you enter someone's home. Okay, another... Let's see if this works.
What's going on?
I've learned to just roll with it.
Okay, so roll with it, okay? One rule of thumb wherever you go, just learn to relax, roll with it, be observant, notice the things that people do around you, but just roll with it and learn to do what they do wherever you're at in their culture, as long as it's appropriate. Okay, so where do our manners and etiquette come from? How many of you have ever heard of George Washington? Yay! He's my hero. I love George Washington. Probably every time I'll ever be asked to speak, I'll talk about George Washington because he truly is my hero. But how many of you ever heard of the 110 rules of civility? Yay! We have a few of you. Have you read them? Little bits. Okay, that was more than I had ever done until I decided to speak on this. And so I've actually read all of them. And when I first approached the 110 rules of civility, I just thought, okay, these are obviously they're going to be out of date. Like we won't adhere to these anymore. But as I read through them, I just thought, nope, that still applies. That still applies. This still applies. And while they're written in Old English, the truths that they contain still apply. And I actually think it would be a worthy endeavor for all of us to go through these rules and apply them to our lives and learn how to be more like George Washington. And so even though these rules of civility were from England, George Washington applied himself to learn them, and then he became them. And the office of the President of the United States, a lot of the prestige that holds was created by George Washington and the type of man that he was. And so these rules of civility, as we go through them, I'm just going to bring up several throughout the presentation, but they were very helpful to establishing a culture for the United States, because we'd come from England, but we still had the wigs and quills, and and a lot of what Europe did, and we needed to become our own nation with our own culture, and a lot of these things still apply. Okay, so rule number 6, I felt it was critical to start with this one. Sleep not when others speak, okay? I know it's early in the morning, first day of the conference, some of you might be struggling. Reckon I'm watching you. Okay, keep your eyes open. It's rude to sleep when someone's speaking. I actually need to practice this in my own life. Okay, rule number 24, also critical, do not laugh too loud or too much at any public spectacle. I thought, oh, that's good. I personally have two brothers who, no matter where you're at in a room full of crowded people, if they find something funny, you know exactly where they're at. And they have a very loud laugh. But I love that's one of the rules of civility, is that we learn to control our laughter. We learn to laugh within a reasonable volume, I guess is how you'd say that. Okay, so rule number 1. I really want to focus on this one, and this is what the majority of what we'll talk about today focuses on. And I love that it's the first rule of the rules of civility. Every action done in company ought to be done with some sign of respect to those that are present, okay? As I thought about manners, me being the expert that I am, I thought, man, I don't know if I can talk about manners. Like, I'm not one to sit here and tell you all, like, which fork to use and things like that. However, I do think that there are some basic principles behind having good manners. And the one that came to mind over and over was respect. If you have respect, it doesn't matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you are respectful towards people, they will feel that and they will return it. And it doesn't matter if you're able to perform their customs or not. And so the base principle to all manners and being a respected person is to have respect. Okay, so first we're going to cover table manners. And this is one of my favorite table scenes. Ooh, here we go. Okay, analyze that scene with me. What was respectful? Yes.
Belle made a compromise.
Thank you. I love that. Perfect wording. Belle made a compromise. So the beast obviously was out of his element, right? And even with the nudging of the spoon, he was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to rise to this occasion, right? And Belle, who this was second nature, it's not like she continued to eat and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm with this beast. She was willing to compromise to help him feel comfortable. That is one of the key elements of having good manners, I think, is it's not so much about the form as much as helping people around you feel comfortable. What is your social awareness? Are you aware of people and their level of sociality? When I was in the Philippines, of course, I'm more comfortable eating with a fork. But over there, they eat with their hands. And in some situations, it was almost embarrassing for them to be eating around us because they knew that we came from what we came from and that we were used to utensils. And so to make things more comfortable, we would eat with our hands as well. And it brought everybody to the same plane of feeling comfortable and more at ease, I guess, with one another. And so that is one thing that I think is probably more important than knowing which fork to use, is be observant to those around you and be respectful. And as long as you're doing that, and like she said, being able to compromise when it's time to compromise. Know when it's time to compromise. Be observant to those around you and their needs. Okay, so just really quick on formal settings, I was reading some articles on it, and they said, you know, this generation is different. People don't sit down and have dinner together as much as they used to. And probably in this audience, your families probably do that more than the majority of America. Maybe some of you don't, but even just sitting down for Sunday dinner and having a nice dinner sometimes, that's more than most families are able to do anymore. And so most kids grow up eating in front of the TV, eating on their own time schedule, and it's not a formal event to sit down. However, all of you will enter the workforce at some time, and you will probably most likely have dinner job interviews. And so it's important to know, you know, a lot of restaurants today they don't come to this level of formality, but it is important to know in case you are ever in that situation. I never thought I would ever be in a formal situation, but I ended up working with senators, and then I ended up going to galas, and we ate with important people, and we had to know stuff like this. And so you never know when it will come into play. And it's also, it's just good to know. You could teach your family. You could have family dinners and set the table this way and practice, okay? So a good rule of thumb with table settings is you always work from the outside in, okay? And so I'm just going to tell you a few things because we're not really going to focus on this much. But the bigger fork on this side, do any of you know what that's for? It's your what? No, the wide one, sorry. The wider one on the outside. Yeah, that's your appetizer fork, okay? Whatever that may be. And then the smaller fork is the salad fork. Okay, so you'll kind of go back and forth. The wide spoons, any spoons that ever are bigger, that's a soup spoon, okay? To be used when they bring soup. And then your dinner fork and so on. The smaller knife is for buttering the bread, okay? So just in basics, the silverware at top, the upper spoon is for dessert. Okay? Is this all clear as mud? Don't ask me what the upper fork is for. I didn't get that far. Do you know? For seafood. Okay. That's why I didn't know. I'm not a fan of seafood. Okay. Awesome. Okay. So some of the rules of civility that apply. Make no show of taking great delight in your victuals. Feed not with greediness. Lean not on the table. Neither find fault with what you eat. I love this. How many of you have ever heard, don't put your elbows on the table? Good. We're all on the same page. Okay. So I love the part that make no show of great delight in your victuals. And I was going to show another video, but we're going to be short on time. But it's from The Lion King, and Scar is playing with the mouse on his fingers, and then he takes him and he eats it. And then the bird flies up and he says, didn't anyone ever tell you not to play with your food? But it's important for us to not appear ravenous when we eat. That's a rule of civility. My dad is notorious for how fast he eats. He inhales his food. And I've heard it my whole life that he needs to slow down. It's not a race and all these things. But it's because he's a big man. He requires a lot of substance. And he's a very busy person. And so he doesn't have much time to get that substance in him. But even that being said, it's important for us to remember to slow down. We eat to live, not live to eat. Have you guys ever heard that? So we don't need to be passionate about food, although I'm one to talk because I love food. but I do love that it says, feed not with greediness. And so even if you're starving, remember to have manners. Remember to eat slowly. Take your time. Okay, rule 107. If others talk at the table, be attentive, but talk not with meat in your mouth. Don't talk with your mouth full. Okay? Rule number 97 and 98. Put not another bite or bit into your mouth till the former be swallowed. Let not your morsels be too big for the jowls. That's kind of common sense, right? We all know that. Drink not nor talk with your mouth full. Neither gaze about while you are drinking. I love that one. I totally had a thank you. I had a visual of like scanning the room while you're drinking, which we've all seen before. But that's rules of etiquette. I guess look at your drink or look down or something, but don't be surveying the room as you're hiding behind your cup. Okay, so that's all we're going to say about table manners. But just remember, manners are a sensitive awareness of the feelings of others. If you have that awareness, you have good manners, and no matter what fork you use. And so again, going back to what we've been talking about, be observant, have respect, and be willing to compromise. Don't be snooty in your mannerliness, okay? Realize the company you're with, the culture you may be in, and when in Rome, do as the Romans. Remember to help other people feel comfortable. So, okay, how many of you have ever heard yourselves referred to as Generation Z? A few of you? Okay, the tech gen, have you ever heard that? Okay, what does that mean when you're called that?
We're all psychologically connected to the internet.
I love that. True, okay? You were all When you were born, the internet was around, right? You've always, in your lifetime, been exposed to the internet. That's basically what Gen Z is, okay? And so that's very different from my generation. Like, I remember there not being a computer in our house. And I remember my dad's first cell phone was a huge box that went on the seat next to him in the pickup, okay? And it had, like, a cord, and it was, like, as big as the house phone. Like, the big old honking phones, okay? I remember that. That wasn't, like, teeny tiny. Like, this is... Anyway, I'm dating myself right here. But, so Generation Z, you guys have always had social media. You've always had the internet. You've always had things at the click of your thumb, right? And so this changes the dynamics of your world versus 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And it also changes the way that your culture is. And so manners themselves and etiquette are changing. They're evolving. One common thing with Generation Z and everybody in today's world is our connectivity, right? We're always connected to a device. And with that, we're starting to lose a social ability to interact with people that are immediately with us. I've read studies on how kids that grow up with a screen are losing the ability to read facial expressions. They don't know how to read people that are in front of them. And I thought that was really interesting because you'd think kids that are seeing movies all the time and stuff would be even better, but it's counterintuitive. It's actually making that part of the brain slow down and be underdeveloped, so they're not as good at reading facial expressions and understanding the people in front of them. And so it's really important that we pull out of that and learn to interact with people right in front of us, okay? Part of this is like cell phone etiquette, right? You guys tell me, what is proper etiquette for having a cell phone? Yes? Thank you. Turn it off or put it on silence during meeting or conversations, okay? That could be a conversation as simple as checking out of the grocery store, okay? That it's very rude, and I've done it before, but to answer a phone call while you're still trying to check out and you're not paying attention to the cashier or things like that, be present. Be with the people that you're around and learn to engage with them. That's part of expanding your sphere of influence, and it's just good etiquette. It's what makes you socially aware, okay? Yes, you have a question?
This conversation stuff is Olive Garden. They have those little games, and you're supposed to be with your family and eating, but then there's the
now games. You can play trivia while you're waiting. Thank you. Yes, but that's the world we live in, right? That's what people are, and so of course with marketing and people that own restaurants, they're going to cater to that. I mean, if that's what people want, they're going to provide it, so that's why they're sitting on your table, right? And they are a temptation. I always have to slap my husband's hand away. No, we're not going to look at that. We're not because I think it is important to take mealtime and make it a conversation piece. Take or make it conversational. It doesn't have to be the conversation piece. That would but be aware of those around you. Interact. Yes, was there a comment?
I had my hand up. I work at the A&W in the town that I live in, and when I'm working the drive-thru, every now and then I'll have someone come up to the drive-thru and I'll see them do this, and they'll take their phone, they won't be on the phone with anyone, they'll just put it up to their face and pretend to be on the phone while I'm trying to take their money and everything. This makes my job so much harder because I can't, like, talk to them because they're currently busy with someone else.
But why do they do that? Even if they're pretending, what do you think the emotion is? What are they feeling?
Just they feel awkward.
Exactly. Awkward. Maybe a little bit fearful. Maybe they want to put up walls and protection because heaven forbid they interact with the person in front of them, right? Even if it's just giving money exchange. But that's what I'm talking about. It's starting to cripple a generation to where there's not human interaction. And so it's, I totally understand that. Like, sometimes it is a temptation to be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pretend to be on my phone so I don't have to talk to anyone, right? Like, how many of you have ever honestly thought that? Like, okay, I'm going to hide behind my phone because I can, because people won't bother you, right? But I challenge you today, all of you, to avoid doing that. To, when you're in social settings, like she said, put the phone away. Engage. Be real. See the people in front of you. Notice who they are. And as we talk about body language, you'll find it more interesting to see, why do I do that? Why am I hiding behind my technology? Or what do I subconsciously think about myself that's causing me to not open up or reach out to other people? Okay? So we're going to do a little quiz. I want you guys to tell me what these expressions are, since you're Generation Z. What emotion, what's a word for this emotion?
Tired, fed up.
Okay, tired, fed up. I like that.
Kind of like depressed.
Depressed, maybe. These are good words. Frustrated. Very good word. Did you have one? They already say it.
Maybe a little bit embarrassed by meeting everybody.
Yeah. I could definitely see embarrassment there. Yes.
Stressed and exasperated.
Oh, these are such good words. Did you have one? Oh, yeah. Excellent. Okay. I think you guys all passed that one. What about this one? Yes.
Happiness.
Happiness. Gleeful. Good word.
I have a little cousin in that, and for her that means, yes, you got it.
Good. I thought you were going to say, and that's her. And I was like, great. I filled this up in enough. Yes.
My little sister will make a face like that, and we call it her fighting face,
scrunching up her nose. She's ready to take
like
you on.
To be, like, it's her being funny.
Yeah. Good.
She knows she'll get a reaction.
You guys are getting A+ here.
Absolutely. Judgment.
Okay, judgment. They didn't get her ice cream. Good.
Piss.
Okay. Yes.
Obstinate.
Obstinate. There's a good word. Yes, she looks very obstinate. Doesn't want to be there. Okay, good.
Disgruntled diva.
A disgruntled diva.
Defiance.
Defiance. Good. Very good words. What about these guys? And no, I didn't put them up there for a likeness in them. I love Shrek. So, yes.
Sorry.
We'll come back to you.
Happy.
Happy? Good. Sorry, I see you guys. It's what?
Trying to convince yourself.
Trying to convince you, maybe? Like, that's a, come on, this is good. Yeah.
They're trying to get something from you.
Okay, maybe. I don't really see that with the old guy. Like, he's just happy. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Don't fall over.
Smiling for the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe posing, selfie. Awesome.
Joy, persuasion.
Okay, happiness, joy, persuasion. Good. What about these guys? Sorry. Bored.
Annoyed.
Any other? You got another one?
No, sorry.
Okay. Okay, bored and annoyed. I would say those are definitely hit it on the head. Okay, good job. So, let me get caught up here. So, with these emotions, do we always fully understand, though? Do sometimes we judge people wrongly? So, first impressions are big, and a lot of first impressions are based off of the first 7 seconds you meet someone, okay? You have about 7 seconds to set up what you want for that person to feel or think about you. And oftentimes, that's before you've even said anything. And so first impressions are judged or made on body language, just by what they see, okay? So how many of you, when you see this individual, you want to give him your job? How many of you would like to hire him, is what I'm trying to say, okay? Or how many of you would even want to invite him into your home and let him have dinner with your family? Okay. We don't know. We don't know what kind of guy he is, right? But just by dress and appearance and hairstyle, there's a feeling and an impression and an energy that maybe that's not a person that we'd necessarily want to bring in close. Okay, what about this young man?
Looks like a prostitute.
This is actually one of my friends, so this might get back to him. I pulled it off Facebook. I asked him if I could use his photo. Yes.
The guy on the left makes you want to do this. The guy on the right makes you want to do this.
Okay. Oh. Pushing away and bringing closer. Thank you. Good. Okay. What else about, like, would you give a job to this young man? Even if he's a little preppy, maybe? Which I totally agree with. Okay. Did you have a comment?
I'm just stretching.
Okay. Good deal. Don't fall asleep on me. That's rude.
Is that Brenton?
That is Brenton. Yes. She knows who it is. Okay. Okay. So what we're feeling or what we may think about people is not always accurate, right? Okay, I'm going to stop it there. We don't have to watch the whole thing. Okay, so even like the guys that she meets in the pub or whatever on Tangled, sometimes most times I would say with people, there's more inside than we read on the outside. However, it makes it nice when we can tell, right? When we see someone, we immediately feel comfortable, okay? So those are things that you guys choose every day. What kind of person you want to come off as. How do you dress? What does your appearance look like? What's your body language? What are you doing to present yourself to the world? That's what manners are. That's what etiquette is. Is what is your social awareness and how are you, what's the word? Let me look at my notes here. One lady uses the word social synchronicity, your awareness of the environment and what you're doing to contribute to society for a higher good, okay? Does this man look like he's elevating society as an individual? I heard a yes. Depends on what society we want, I guess, right? But that's something to be thinking about. What am I doing to elevate society? What am I doing to bring about trust in other people, okay? Okay, so all of this goes back to communication as well. So there's three main components to communication. The words that you speak, the tone that you're using to speak them, and then your body language. And there's been studies and things like that, but 70% of what you communicate to people is actually your body language. Your words are like less than 30%. Isn't that amazing? So we could be saying the most profound thing, but the way that we relay it and the way that we say it, the tone that we're using, or the body language that we're using could greatly change how people are taking it, right? And so these are some of the things that I think are important to understand as we're entering social society, right? You guys are of age that you're going to start applying for jobs, presenting yourself to an employer, right? Maybe asking someone on a date, right? Okay, so as we enter these social settings, it's kind of cool to think about, okay, what am I putting out to people? Like this young man said, are we pushing away others or are we bringing people in by the way that we stand, by the way that we act, okay? So I would like to get a volunteer, someone brave. Would you like to come up? Okay, I want you to show us in your best body language a normal middle schooler kid, just how they would stand and what they would do. Okay, I love this. Okay, did everybody see what he just did? What changed about his body when he did that? Yes?
He flapped just slightly because middle schoolers are typically.
Okay, shoulders went in. What else changed? Dramatically, I would say. Okay, he came up standing up here, and as soon as I said that, he went. Right? Okay, we're going to talk about that. Was there another? What else changed? Okay, did you have a comment? Okay. You're great. Great helper. Okay, stay there. Don't move. Keep that pose. Okay, one thing to notice about, what does this say to you, first of all? What do you guys read from this? From his pose, what he's done.
Hesitancy?
That's a good word. Okay, he doesn't want to be standing in the front of the class. Probably doesn't want to be seen as a middle schooler either, right? Yes.
Being a little bit more confident.
Okay, maybe a little unconfident, a little hesitant, right? We do get that feeling. What else?
Trying to convince himself that he's ready to go do things.
Okay, maybe there's a desire there, but the body language is saying, his subconscious really is saying, oh no, oh no, 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 no. You're not going to take on that world. Okay, an important thing, what I love that he did the most is the shoulders and the leg, okay? Your legs and feet are, and again, this is your subconscious programming. Most times we don't think about this, but your legs and feet are the foundation of your body, okay? And so by putting one weight onto one leg, he's showing you could push me over at any moment, okay? He's a little unsure, a little unconfident. His foundation just got weak when I told him to be a typical middle schooler, right? Okay, and then shoulders slunched, shoulders going. I almost was surprised that he didn't fold his arms, okay? This is a sign of protection. This is a sign of, I don't want you to know who I am. I don't want you to be reading me. I don't want you to know anything about me, right? It's a pushing away, okay? This is a pushing away of body language, okay? But it all comes from subconscious, okay? We do this all the time in social interactions. Notice yourselves. When you guys go to talk to someone, notice if you can stand there and listen to them openly, and notice my hands, if you can stand there openly, or if you're, okay, what is all of that behavior? You're being more closed off. You're fearful. It's a fear, maybe a fear of them, a fear of being judged, a fear of maybe being asked to do something that you don't feel confident to do. But none of this is conscious, guys. This is subconscious programming, okay? Your brain is like a computer, and your subconscious is running millions of times faster than your conscious brain. And so in those 7 seconds that you think you're consciously making a judgment on someone, your subconscious has already read everything up and down them a million times and has made a decision on what kind of person they are by their body language, by who they are, by what they're saying, okay? And so we can actually reprogram, just like a computer needs updates sometimes. We can update our programming through our subconscious, and we can do that through our body language, okay? So I'm going to reprogram him, okay? So I want you to put your shoulders back, stand up on both feet, put your hands out, and look forward, okay? Now what is his body language telling you now?
I'm ready.
I'm ready, okay? What else?
Eagerness.
An eagerness, okay? An openness. Any other observations? Do you feel drawn into him? Is there a different energy now about him?
His face still seems terrified.
I'm kind of an intimidating person. He doesn't know what I'm going to ask him. Of course he's scared. Yes.
I'm more willing to go talk to him and have a conversation.
Love that. She's more willing to go talk to him and have a conversation. Isn't that awesome? Than someone sitting there like this, right? This evokes invitation. It evokes confidence. It invites someone, right? It's inviting, and that's how we want to be. That is good manners. That's good etiquette. You guys think these, well, what does that have to do with manners? Really a lot. The energy you bring to a room can either suck everybody's energy or add to it, and I think this is such a critical part of interacting with society. When you go into that job interview, don't you want to be inviting and confident and at ease? Okay? So reprogram yourselves. Notice what you're doing. I was listening to a TED Talk, and the lady was talking about it. She says, I noticed I didn't get along very well with people, and I didn't have many friends. And she said, and I started to notice my body language. And she said, I always folded my arms or crossed myself somehow when I was talking to people. And she said, and I started to go through this battle of trying to keep my arms down. And she said it was like this constant, like, stop. But she's, because your subconscious brain is pretty powerful. Like, you'll consciously do something, and then the next minute you'll find yourself closing back up. And so you have to reprogram. You have to keep doing it and get in that habit. Did you have a comment?
Just kind of where you ended there. It's surprising how changing your body language can actually start to change how you feel in the situation, too. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's exactly how you reprogram. It will be uncomfortable, but if that's what you want to attain, then you strut yourself. Thank you. You can sit down. So I love that in Mulan. Listen to what Muju tells him. Okay, we're going to stop there. I was going to go a little bit further because we're talking about manners. It's kind of funny. My friend, she posted on Facebook and she said, my little boy came and asked me, what is womaners? And she's like, where have you heard that? What do you mean? And he's like, well, I don't know. We always talk about manners. What are the womaners? Anyway, thought that was a good point to make. Okay, so reprogramming. You can change the way you feel by changing your body language. Body language is an outward reflection of what you're feeling inwardly. And so as you guys, this is really cool. There's tons of TED Talks out there. There's books on it. There's all kinds of things to help you guys learn about yourself. But notice how you are, even just looking about the room. Some of you are engaged and listening, and some of you are a little unsure. Some of you aren't wanting to hear this. Okay, there's all kinds of body language going on. And really, it's subconscious. You may not even be thinking about it. I remember I heard about this in college, and I thought, they said if you're leaning forward, you're attentive, but if you're leaning back, then you're disengaging with whatever, or you may have problems with what is being said. And so I started to make a conscious decision to sit forward and engage the speaker. And it really does change. You can feel the energy shift with just small movements. And I love that. I love that about interacting with society. Okay, so we're going to hurry and cover our last few things. Personal hygiene. Okay, this is so critical to entering society. Rule number 15, keep your nails clean and short, also your hands and teeth clean, yet without showing any great concern for them, okay? I love that last part. How many of you have ever seen the girl that's just like obsessing over her hair or her makeup, like she's putting it on in public and stuff and always adjusting herself, okay? That's probably a little obsessive. It's nice to look clean and orderly, but you don't have to obsess over it. You don't have to be doing it in public, okay? A lot of these things is you do it in private so that you can enter public and look nice, okay? Another thing is hands. So I told you I would talk a little bit more about hands. Hands are incredible. I've been to several speakers that talk about hands, but our hands tell us a lot about how we feel about ourselves too. If you guys look at your hands, which fingernails have you picked recently, okay? And each one of those fingers means something. It's kind of cool. I don't know if I'll cover it with you right now. But your pointer finger on both your hands is your self-confidence. And if that's the main finger that you pick, you're picking at your self-confidence, okay? And it's interesting to notice when you pick. I've started to really notice this about myself. Just last night I was in a meeting and they put me in charge of something and I was picking my middle finger. I picked it clean off. It was a beautiful long fingernail. And I was just like, ah! I caught myself. But I was too late, and I ripped it off. And your middle finger is responsibility. So if you pick at that finger at any certain time, check yourself and say, wait. Why is my subconscious wanting to pick at this responsibility? Why is my subconscious trying to throw off this responsibility? Does that make sense? And so every part of our body really can tell you a lot about what your subconscious, what you're programmed for. And it's not bad, guys. Just start to notice it so that you can reprogram yourself, because that will help you exude confidence when you enter the workforce, when you start dating, when you meet people. It will help you be at ease with who you are, okay? And so keeping your fingernails clean. Another thing with hands, I saw this thing where hands up is an invitation. It's an openness. And the more that you have your hands open, clenching or any kind of putting your hands away could be like trying to hide from responsibility or you want power. Hands down, like if I was talking like this, this would change the way that you receive what I'm saying. This is more directing. This is, I'm telling you, okay? And then even on top of that is pointing, okay? Which I'm really bad at pointing because my personality, I'm a very bossy person. Okay, so I've had to really catch myself. I trained myself for this speech to make sure that I was open because I want you to listen to what I'm saying. But I have caught myself several times. This is why I'm telling you at the end of my speech, not the beginning, so you weren't analyzing me the whole time. But I've caught myself pointing a few times, and I'm like, open, open, Okay, this is a power stance. If you'll do this even just before you go to give a talk or to go into a job interview, if you just do this before you walk in or even when you're sitting in there, this will give you power. Your brain will fight it like crazy when you first start doing it. But this gives confidence. It's an openness. It's a power stance. One example that I loved is the openness. Can you imagine Heil Hitler? That's a power. That's a power stance, right? The hand down, the palm down. Can you imagine if it was like this? It'd be very different, right? It's like the greatest showman. So, come see, come. You know, so watch characters in history, watch movies, watch people as they speak. What is their body language? What are they doing? It says things about them. But I'm not telling this to you all to become critics. I'm not saying this to go be the creepy kids that are watching, like, you have some unconfidence in you. I see it. Okay, I'm telling you because this is to help you. This is to help you put others at ease so that you can be the type of person that when you enter a room, you help others feel good, right? That's what manners is. That's what we're focusing on. I have another quote. People will forget what you said, and people will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. This is the basis of etiquette and manners. It's to make people feel comfortable and at ease, okay? It's not this snooty thing of I know more about what I should do in the proper situation than you do, okay? It's about helping people feel comfortable, okay? And in your guys' world where things are changing and cultures are changing and even things that we see as have always been true are changing. But with those changes, the most important thing you could probably do is learn to interact with people socially. Be aware of what's going on around you and know how to present yourself confidently so that you can help others feel at ease. Does that make sense? It's always hard and awkward when you approach someone that is very closed off, right? What if you're that person that's trying to get through to them and they won't look at you, right? Okay, but by being open, you automatically are inviting other people to be open as well and to be comfortable around you. And that's really what Christ would do, right? That's what this is all about, is we want to help other people feel at ease and comfortable around us and who we are. Okay, I was going to talk a little bit about dating. Basic rules with dating, you guys have already covered them. Have respect, be observant, right? And help them feel important. So, anyway, I'll play this for my ending. I think it's always important to remember to say please and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
No.
I'm going to have that song in my head the rest of the day. But anyway, the basis of all this and the takeaway that I hope you'll all go away with is respect for ourselves guides our morals and respect for others guides our manners. It's truly all about respect, and that's why I've focused on body language today. I want you guys to learn to respect yourself. Respect who you are, and you will in turn respect others. And so I hope you guys can remember that as you go throughout this conference. Remember to respect others. Remember and analyze yourself. See how you're doing so that you can be more confident and comfortable with situations that you're in. So thank you for coming and listening today.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.